You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye, Enterprise Radio. Working in conjunction with our social media strategies and information channel is your EPN location for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business. Leading to business success. Today we are speaking with Avi Savar, Chairman, Founder, and Chief Creative Officer of Big Fuel, a pure play social media agency designed for the needs of large brands, and author of Content to Commerce, a social media guide to teaching companies how to engage consumer across paid, earned, and owned channels. Avi, welcome to Enterprise Radio this morning.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here and excited.
Certainly, we certainly could use the information and your expertise on the topic of social media and marketing. So what are a few keys to social media marketing that most people are missing the boat on?
Sure. I mean, you know, at this point, I think in the game, social is coming out of, you know, almost the second or third inning. It's still very new. People are starting to understand the nuances of it. But somehow, I think most marketers still tend to try to sell and sell hard in social, and they need to understand what social media as a medium, as a channel, is meant to do for their brand, and what and how to best leverage social on their behalf, and how to engage rather than sell to their audiences. And it's a longer term play that most marketers aren't used to. And I think that's the greatest challenge that we see, is really continuing to educate brands, brand marketers, that, you know, it's really less about, you know, show me and sell me my product, and it's really more about help and entertain me on the audience side. It's about longer term connections. It's about building value. It's about creating utility, things that marketers aren't accustomed to doing in the marketplace. And so it's still very, very new in terms of a thought process, and we're continuing to educate and almost, you know, reprogram the way brand marketers are thinking and how to best leverage social in conjunction with their more traditional and mainstream marketing tactics.
Why do you think brands or companies are having such a hard time adapting to building relationships with their customers via social media, when the same people running the programs do it readily in their personal lives to keep in touch with family and friends?
You know, it's interesting. It's a great question. And I think, you know, personally, and this is, you know, nothing more than my own kind of knee-jerk gut, my belief is that we're not programmed that way. We're programmed that way in our lives because we build our lives around successful relationships with people, and we're human in that way. But when it comes to our you know, kind of professional tendencies, the way we're programmed are very different. Brand marketers, for better or for worse, are compensated on and are motivated by short-term success. Right. At the end of the day, if I'm a CMO, if I'm a brand marketer, my job is to sell a widget or move a consumer down a particular funnel or pipeline. And based on that, my compensation, my incentives, the way that my boss judges me is based on how much product I'm selling and what my report shows at the end of the week or at the end of the quarter or at the end of the month. And so as marketers, we are and have been programmed to think short term, because it really is all about the next quarter's results. And so it's a hard distinction to make as a marketer to think longer term. When you look at the big brand level, the average lifespan of a CMO at a big brand is 2 to 3 years now, which is insane. And based on that, how can I be, as a CMO, thinking long term if my job is on the line after 2 or 3 years in the saddle? And so I think that's a tendency now, and a little bit of a problem. In that the way that we are programmed to think in our professional lives is a little shorter term, and longer term value takes a back seat, right? And that's why, you know, when you look at, you know, when things get tight, the first thing to get cut on the budget line item is PR, because you can't really quantify it. It's a little more touchy-feely. It's longer term. It's brand building. And I think marketers today, you know, we've really moved in a direction, again, for better or for worse, into more of the kind of data-driven performance marketing. And performance marketing is about short-term success and short-term results. It's about optimization. It's about qualifying leads. It's about conversions. And social is almost at the opposite end of the spectrum from that. There's a time and a place to sell in social, but social is really about longer term relationship building with customers and brand building. I like to think that social today, unless you have an exorbitant amount of dollars to spend in paid media, social today is really one of the only places a marketer can actually build a brand. It's designed for brand love. It's designed for brand building, not conversions and selling. And I think that's a little bit of reprogramming that needs to happen in and from the CMO level all the way down. You know, if I'm a brand manager or director and I have a weekly meeting with my boss, the things that will help me get promoted and help me not get fired are things that are quick wins, shorter term results, and the longer term value tends to get pushed back a little bit. And you know, again, I think that's just human nature, and I think as you start to see younger, savvy, more digitally savvy marketers enter senior level positions and have a bigger roles and responsibilities, I think you're starting to see a little bit of that trend where they start to understand the value of social and what it brings to the table. But if I'm a traditional marketer who's been, you know, working my way up the corporate ladder for some time and I'm in a senior position now, chances are when I was a manager, at a manager level, I probably didn't even have email or I was just getting on email. And so these are very new things. I mean, if you look at social in the mainstream now, you're looking at really 3-4 years tops. So a CMO 3-4 years ago, you know, if you look at their trajectory as a profession, in their professional path, you know, the way that they were trained and brought up is very different. And I think that's just a generational gap that we'll start to see a shift in.
What do you mean by think like a publisher, act like a media network?
Absolutely. I mean, in today's kind of digitally connected, socially connected world, you know, I like to think that in the world of social, you know, when we are talking about building longer term relationships and we're talking about building brands, you know, the notion of content is incredibly important, right? Content is valuable. It elicits kind of emotional responses and reactions. It can help and entertain people. Content is less about selling and more about, you know, telling a story. And as you think about a brand kind of construct today, I have my website, I have a Facebook page, I have a Twitter feed, you know, I may have an Instagram feed, I probably have a YouTube channel, you know, maybe I'm on Pinterest, you know, I'm thinking about things like Vine and, you know, other types of social channels that maybe I want to make a priority in my kind of arsenal or architecture of channels. And each one of those really is a channel. I mean, one of the biggest things that we see, you know, time and time again is a brand just pushes the same thing out across all their channels. And that's wasted opportunity. So if I am a brand and I have all of these different channels to play with, Facebook should serve a unique purpose for me, as should Twitter, as should Pinterest. All of these different channels make up what I call my network. And I think, you know, when you look at, you know, media organizations, you know, on the entertainment side of the equation, you know, big media conglomerates like Viacom, right? Viacom has Spike that talks to men. They have Nickelodeon for a younger demographic and now late night for moms. They've got VH1 and MTV. Let's talk about pop culture to different demographics. Each one of those channels serves a very different purpose for that brand, for the Viacom brand. And that's no different today for, non-entertainment-based brands. They need to think of those channels in the same way that Viacom does. What is Facebook doing for my brand, right? What is Twitter doing for my brand? What is YouTube doing for my brand? And those different channels allow me to start thinking not just like a publisher, but like a network, right? It's not enough anymore. When I started Big Fuel, in 2004, you know, I used to get up on a soapbox and talk about, you know, you guys need to think about content, and it's not just about advertising, it's about the world is moving towards content, and a brand needs to think like a publisher. We have now moved beyond that. I think brands are starting to understand the value of content, and my job as a thought leader in the space is to continue to evolve what brands are doing, and the next evolution of brand as publisher is brand as network. And how do I think of my brand in the same way that a Viacom does? How can I leverage Facebook for my brand? You know, a big question we always get from our clients is, what should my Facebook strategy be? And what should we be doing on Facebook? And I think that's the wrong question to ask. The right question is, it's not what should we be doing on Facebook? It's what should Facebook be doing for our brand? What should Facebook be doing for our network? And if I start to build an architecture of all my different channels and start to program those channels with specific content that serves the specific needs of the audiences that live on those channels, now my job as a CMO has evolved slightly from you know, being sales driven and marketing driven to also being, you know, a network executive and thinking about my channels as not just a publisher putting out one piece of content across multiple channels, but really thinking about programming my network and how I can connect with audiences across all of those channels. And I think that's, you know, that's what I'm trying to establish in terms of the next phase of thinking in this social kind of content-driven world.
Good stuff. Today we're joined by Avi Savar, Chairman, Founder, and Chief Creative Officer of Big Fuel, a pure-play social media agency, also the author of Content to Commerce, a social media guide to teaching companies how to engage consumer across paid, earned, and owned channels here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Avi, you mentioned concepts of looking out and looking in your book. Can you explain that a little bit and give us a couple of examples?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's something that I like to call the curse of knowledge. And the curse of knowledge means, like, when you're inside an organization, you know, you have blinders on in terms of what is happening in the world. And a perfect example of that is a former client, you know, my former client, Colgate-Palmolive. Every employee inside the walls of Colgate think that toothpaste is the most important thing in the world because that's what they do on a day-to-day basis. They sell, manufacture, and ship more toothpaste than anybody else on the planet, right? And their belief in their features and the benefits of their product drives what they do on a day-to-day basis. But the fact of the matter is the people they're selling to, predominantly moms, when they wake up in the morning, they're not thinking about toothpaste, right? They don't have the same kind of viewpoint that a marketer inside of Colgate has. And when we start thinking about the world of social and we start thinking about the world of content, it's not about features and benefits. So as a marketer, I can look inward and think about what my brand stands for, what my brand is about, the features and benefits of my product. You know, my toothpaste has 20% more fluoride than the competition. You know, my car has, you know, 100 more horsepower than the competition. And in traditional marketing, those features, those benefits, or specifically that unique selling proposition, right, the USP, that unique selling proposition is an internal kind of mantra of how we're going to sell our product and what we're going to go to market with. And when I've got 30 seconds to tell a story, or one page in a magazine to deliver a message, that unique selling proposition has to drive 95% of my message. And that's what I have to deliver into the marketplace so that when somebody who's in the market for a car sees my ad, they know that I have more horsepower over the competition, and then they start to consider me in their set, right? And that's a very inward-looking approach to marketing. When we start looking outward, when we start thinking about the agenda of the consumer and how they're consuming content and where they live and what's on their mind, we start to need to think differently about how to market to them. Mom does not wake up in the morning and say to herself, wow, I really hope that today is the day that I find toothpaste with 20% more fluoride, right? That's not even is that the last thing on her mind, it's not in her mind, right? She's waking up in the morning and thinking about what she has to do that day. She's thinking about how to get her kids off to school, how she's got to get to work, how she's got to make sure that the family vacation is planned, how she's got to make sure that the next, you know, set of initiatives for her kids are scheduled, school's coming up, all the things that are on her mind. That is what is and connects a brand to being relevant in the world and in the marketplace, and thinking and looking outward into the minds of the consumer and really inserting themselves into their agenda is how we start to think about looking out. Mobile consumption habits, right? Content consumption habits, topics of conversation, trending topics, things that people are talking about. I always say to my clients that, you know, we never want to create a new conversation, right? There are times and places for it, but rarely do we want to create a new conversation. What we want is to piggyback and insert ourselves into existing conversation. So we can look inward and think about our features and our benefits and our unique selling proposition, but we have to look outward and think about what people are talking about and what's on their mind and connect the two. Our job as a social media agency is to connect those dots. And that is the definition, in all honesty, of content to commerce, right? The title of my book is called Content to Commerce. And traditional advertising is actually the reverse of that. Traditional advertising says, start with unique selling proposition and then go make a creative asset that tells your story and brings your unique selling proposition to life in the marketplace. Content to commerce is the reverse of that. It's understand the consumer's agenda first. Know what's important to mom. Create content that's meaningful to her and figure out how to connect the dot to your brand, not the other way around.
So what would be the difference between commerce-based marketing and content-based marketing? Do you have some good examples of each of those briefly?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of what I was just talking about, right? Commerce-based marketing, in my opinion, is traditionally focused, right? It's features, it's benefits, it's unique selling proposition, it's understanding talking points of the brand, distilling down all the things that are important to the brand into that unique selling proposition, and then taking that unique selling proposition and putting it out into the marketplace with creative assets. So again, my car has more horsepower than the competition. I'm going to create an ad or some creative asset that's going to tell that story in a unique way. You know, I'm going to show my car, you know, making these zippy turns around a mountain in a sexy light with a sunset in the background, and I'm going to talk about how much horsepower my car has, and hopefully I make that connection, right? Versus the other way of thinking about it from the content-based approach is, rather than talking about my car and how much horsepower it has, thinking about the idea of, and I'm making this up now, thinking about the idea of performance, right? If my car has more horsepower, then it performs better, right? It's faster. So now, okay, if I'm selling to, you know, dads or males, you know, 28 to 35 or whatever the particular target market is, you know, the idea of performance is important. I want to perform well in my job. I want to perform well, you know, on the weekends when I'm doing my athletics, or maybe I play on a football team or something. I want to perform well. Those are people-based stories. So how can I connect the idea of performance, right, on the people side, people stories, and how do I connect that to my product story, which is about horsepower? So commerce-based marketing starts with product stories first. Content-based marketing starts with people stories, right? So it's traditional marketing is kind of commerce to creative or commerce to content. Product stories connect to people. Content-based marketing is the complete reverse of traditional. It starts with people stories first and then connects to product.
Very good example and explanation. Now, in conclusion, if you could leave our listeners with one key strategy tip to implementing a successful social media campaign, what would that be?
Stop selling and make human connections, right? A long time ago, I wrote a paper. This was years and years ago, and I think it still holds true that, like, social media is like a cocktail party. It's probably the biggest cocktail party on the planet, right? And when people walk into this big room with a big party, there's lots of conversations that are happening, right? So I liken it to like a high school reunion, right? So you walk into the room, and in one corner you've got a group of guys talking about last night's football game, and the other group on the other side of the room you've got a group of women talking about you know, what happened on last night's Grey's Anatomy show, and on the other side you've got the younger group talking about the Will Ferrell movie they just saw, right? So lots of conversations are swirling around in this room, and I walk in. And when I walk in, if my agenda is to sell my toothbrush or to sell my car, and I walk into the group of guys that are talking about last night's football game, and the first thing I say to them is, "Hey, I know you're talking about a football game, but you know what? Have you seen my new car and how fast it is?" They're going to look at me like I'm a friggin' idiot. And I'm going to get completely pushed out of that conversation versus walking into that conversation and providing some value to them that maybe they didn't have before. Like, hey, I got some tickets to next week's game. Who wants to come? Or, you're talking about last night's game. It just so happens that the quarterback from the game is going to be at this thing, and here's some extra content that you didn't have before. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to provide value to those people, and I'm doing it in a way that starts to build a relationship with them. And then, once I have their trust, and once I've created value, we're seeing eye to eye, at that point, I have earned the right to talk about my car, right? But if all I do is I walk in and I start selling, the fact is, the reality is, nobody's going to pay attention. Right, I'm disrupting the conversation, and disruption has been the basis of marketing for the last 20 years or last 10 years, and we're no longer, specifically in social, we're no longer thinking about disruption. We're thinking about engagement, and so we're trying to think about people stories that we can connect to and how we can get people to like us. Right, that's why on Facebook it's called a like. I like things. So the only way that I'm going to like a brand is because I actually use that brand. So when we start thinking about our existing customer base, right, I've already become friends with them. I've already got their trust. They are a client. I can talk to them a little differently. But if I'm out there looking for new clients, I have to think of it in a little bit of a different way. So when I walk into that party, when I'm on Facebook, when I'm creating content on YouTube, if all I do is beat my chest and pound my chest about how great my product is, then you know what? Maybe I'll get a few people who are going to go raise their hand and say, yeah, you know what? I listen to what you have to say, because it just so happens I'm in the market for a car. But you're going to alienate the people who are not in the market for a car. And the fact of the matter is, there's a lot more of those people than lower funnel activity. So I think, you know, that's the key takeaway for me, at least, when I'm talking to marketers, is reprogramming their thinking slightly to really think like publishers, act like networks, build relationships with brands. Think of people as audiences first, not consumers. Right. If you think of them as an audience consumes content. They talk about things. They're connected to each other. Right. I'm building audiences. I want to convert those audiences to consumers. But if all I do is enter the social space and start fishing for consumers, I might catch a few fish, but I'm going to miss, you know, the bigger opportunity.
Certainly makes a lot of sense. Certainly been good to have had you to cover this topic, and certainly makes not surprised that you are a thought leader in the social media space. How about telling our listeners, if you would, where they can get more information about Big Fuel and also your book, Content to Commerce Online?
Sure. Thanks for that. Yeah. BigFuel.com is my agency. You can learn more about me at avisavar.com. That's AviSavar.com. I also blog and write, across the web in various different places and areas. My book is available in stores, online, basically wherever books are sold: Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Books a Million, you name it, it's there. Very excited to have had this opportunity to share a little bit, and you can also tweet me at Avi Savar. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm connected as any other social media personality would be.
Well, certainly been good to have had you. We've been speaking with Avi Savar, Chairman, Founder, and Chief Creative Officer of Big Fuel, a pure-play social media agency designed to the needs of large brands, and author of Content to Commerce, a social media guide to teaching companies how to engage consumer across paid, earned, and owned channels. And the websites of reference, once again, is avisavar.com as well as bigfuel.com. Avi, thanks so much for being with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Certainly has been. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with the Social Media Strategies and Information Channel, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.